Hope you're all doing good tonight. I'm going to ask you to open your Bible, please, to the book of Luke. We'll be in Luke tonight, Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12, verse 48. And I hope you do have your Bible with you, because we will be going through it tonight. I am preaching from the Bible, amen. And so we'll be using that tonight. Luke chapter 12, verse 48. Luke chapter 12, verse 48. It's 6:18. I don't plan on taking much tonight. I did go over the time this morning. Amen. But that's okay. It wasn't too bad. It wasn't like 10 minutes over. It was like 3-4 minutes. But I know Pastor Schaefer, he always tells me, don't go over 12. Or if I preach on a Wednesday, he tells me, don't go over 7. But Luke chapter 12, verse 48, the Bible says this: "But he that knew not and did commit things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with few stripes. For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall be much required. And to whom men have committed much, of him they will ask the more." Let's go ahead and bow our heads, close our eyes for a quick word of prayer. Dear Lord, we thank you, Lord, for the opportunity you've given us to be in church tonight, Lord. I pray, Lord, that tonight would be a blessing. I pray, Lord, that you will use me, Lord. Hide me behind the shadow of your cross, Father. And I just pray, Lord, that you open our hearts and minds to the preaching of your word tonight. Help us learn something new today, Lord. Help us have an open heart to your word. And not only that, Lord, not just learn something new, but give us that desire, the strength to be able to apply that during the week, Father. I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of my sermon tonight is, "To whom much is given, much is required." To whom much is given, much is required. We see here in Luke chapter 12, verse 48, I want to focus on this part: "For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall be much required." You know, it's a blessing to be able to live in this country, here in the United States of America. I don't know about you, but I find that a huge blessing. I was born in this country, and I love the United States of America. Many people die every year just to come and try and live in this country. There's many people from different parts around the world, and especially South America. They try to come over here, whether that be legally or illegally, and because they hear about how great it's going and how great, how good of a good life you can live here in America. And hundreds of people die every year, thousands of people, just to come over here. Every day, 1,700 millionaires are made here in the United States of America. Just think about that for a bit. 1,700 millionaires are made every day here in America. Now, I'm saying that because it's very easy. No, well, I don't want to say it's easy, but you have the opportunity in a country like here in the United States to become a millionaire. That's why a lot of people from other countries, they'll try and find jobs. They can't find jobs, or they do, they get a job where they're probably getting paid $1 a day, $2 a day, $5 a day, and it's just not enough for them and their family, so they try and come to the United States of America. But just think about that for a minute. 1,700 people, okay? 1,700 millionaires are made every day in this country. All right, this country is full of blessings, folks. It is full of blessings, okay? Especially if you've been in other countries, you know what I'm talking about. I've been to Mexico. I don't like Mexico one bit. I don't like going over there. I've had really bad experiences, especially with the Mexican cartels. It's a very dangerous area. I don't like Mexico. If God were to, people always tell me, well, what if God calls you to go preach in Mexico? Well, then I would have to go, okay? But, the Lord hasn't called me to go to Mexico, okay? Okay, so, but I don't like Mexico one bit. I'm Hispanic. My parents are from Mexico, but I do not rep or wave the Mexican flag, okay? I've seen a lot of Mexicans do that. That's fine if they want to do that. I think it's foolish, because I want to wave the American flag. And Mexico didn't give me nothing. Mexico didn't give my parents anything. That's why they came over here. And that's why I said I love the United States of America. But like I was saying, this country is full of blessings, folks. But even though this country is full of blessings, okay, many in this country, we have many people in this country that are unthankful, okay? They're lazy. They're haters of God. They despise the things of God. They're antichrist. A lot of people in our country and a lot of Christians in our country fall into that category. And it's sad, folks. We should be thankful to be able to live in a country like this where you can go to work, all right? You can find a job, okay? You can go to work. You can have your own car, all right? I think the only bad thing probably is the gas prices and the taxes, all right? But that's about it. But we have the freedom to come to church on Sundays, on Wednesdays, okay? We are very blessed to be able to live in this country. And like I was saying, there's many Christians that fall into that category where they're just unthankful, all right? They're lazy. They don't want to do anything. And we shouldn't be like that, folks. And like I said, I have a short message tonight. I have three points for you. I always have 3 points. I just feel like it's a little bit more organized like that. But we'll go ahead and jump into point number one, unthankful. Let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Timothy was a helper of the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul wrote this letter to Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 2. Chapter 3, verse 2. Actually, I'll start from verse 1. It says, this know also, okay, this is the Apostle Paul encouraging Timothy, okay? He says, this know also that in the last days, perilous times shall come. Dangerous times shall come. Let's stop right there real quick. I believe we are living in dangerous times and perilous times here, especially here in the United States, where it's supposed to be a little bit more safe. Where we supposed to have law and order. We are living in dangerous times. You hear of crazy stuff happening, shootings, a shooting that happened over there in New York at a grocery store. That's sad. 18-year-old young man, just 18. All right. That's young. 18 went to go shoot up a store. I don't know what was his reason for. There shouldn't be a reason for that. Another 18-year-old boy going to a school and shooting up kids. We are living in dangerous times. And the Apostle Paul is telling Timothy, perilous times shall come. In the last days, you're going to see that. Okay? Let's keep on going. Verse 2. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. Okay, so the Apostle Paul is telling us, okay, that in the last days, you're going to see these type of things here. Okay, and if you pay attention, you already see that. We see there in verse 2, he talks about proud. People are going to be proud. That's the motto for the homosexuals, gay pride. They promote that. Yeah, I was working Amazon security just... It's been like a week or two weeks now. I quit security. I started working full time with my dad. But they were having their gay month pride thing going on. And they put a rainbow road right there, right in the entrance. You know, I hopped over it. I didn't want to walk on it. And it kind of reminded me of Mario Kart. If you played Mario Kart, you know what I'm talking about. But I didn't want to walk on it. They had a huge parade there because it's a big Amazon warehouse there in Goodyear. And they had a huge parade there. And it's funny. I think there in Amazon, they give you like a $2 raise if you come out as gay or lesbian. And I think that's kind of crazy. But in the last days, we're going to see that. Okay? And let's keep on going here. He says, proud blasphemers, disobedient to parents. Nowadays, you see a lot of kids, a lot of teenagers. They want to do what they want to do. Okay? They don't want to listen to their mom. They don't want to listen to their dad. They want to go out when they want to go out. If they don't like a rule in that house, they'll tell their parents. Disobedience of parents. You're going to see that. Let's keep on going here. In verse 2, unthankful. That's what I want to talk about this morning. That's actually our first point for tonight. Unthankful, unholy. Okay? But unthankful, that's a big one in our country. All right? People are not thankful for what they have in this country. You can go to school for free. Now, I know public school isn't the best. I went to public school. If you went to public school, you know what I'm talking about. Now, if you're older than me and you went to public school, it's worse now, okay? When I was in public school, it was horrible. Now that it's been years since I've gone to public school, I bet it's even worse now, okay? It's just going to get worse and worse and worse, okay? But still, we have the opportunity to go to school for free, or if you want to go to college, you could apply and get money from the government, stuff like that, help like that. And people are very unthankful in this country. It's sad. We have the privilege to be able to go to church as well. All right. And a lot of times there's just, like I said, there's always people, Christians, unthankful about everything. Folks, we have the privilege. Think about that. We have the privilege to go to church on a Sunday morning, okay, Sunday night, without having some crazy guy, okay, or somebody from the government trying to shoot us down because we're going to go worship the Lord. That's how it is in some countries, folks. There's Christians, they can't go to church that easily. And if they do, they got to plan it out all out the day before just so they won't get caught and killed. And here in America, we have that privilege. And we ought to thank God for that. We ought to be thankful for that. It's the little things that we ought to be thankful for. Amen. And I think during COVID, okay, I think we were the only country, and I might be wrong, to receive money from the government. Was there other countries receiving money from the government? Does anyone know? Okay, then I was probably right then. The stimulus checks. All right. I know some of you guys received stimulus check. I received a stimulus check. Okay. The government, I don't know why, but our government, they like to hand out money like it's candy. But we received stimulus checks. There's no other country in the world that will do something like that. Okay? We're a blessed country. We ought to be thankful. Okay? I remember when the stimulus check, I had a friend, his name was George. And George got his stimulus check. And he wasn't even happy about it. He works in his dad's carpet business. But he got a stimulus check and he's all like, Carlos, I don't know what to do with this. He literally told me that. And then he said, you know what, I'm going to go take you out to eat. And I was like, okay, I don't mind. You know, but in a different country, okay, there's people that were literally starving to death. They were dying from COVID. They couldn't go out to work. They didn't have no money. And here in America, we're getting checks. And people are still unthankful and foolish. We ought to be thankful to be able to live, to be living in a country like this. Also, this is a big one, folks. Now, I do not want to get into politics in any way, but I will mention this. I believe it was even during COVID as well. They had this whole Black Lives Matter things, and they were trying to defund the police, which I think is very foolish. And that has nothing to do with, I don't care if you're a Democrat, Republican, or independent, or you don't believe, or you just believe everyone's part of the one world government. I don't know. It doesn't matter. But it's foolish to say, oh, let's just take down the police. Let's defund the police. When I was in Mexico, I remember I went to a mission trip in Mexico. I don't know if I've talked to the church about this. I probably told the teens. But I went to a mission trip in Mexico over there at, I believe it was a Michoacan. It was Zacatecas. Zacatecas, Mexico. And Zacatecas is known, I didn't know this, and my pastor didn't know, didn't tell us either, or probably he didn't know, I don't know. But Zacatecas has one of the biggest drug cartels there. They're called the Zetas, okay? And these are very dangerous people. You do not want to play with them. They don't care. I remember we went to Mexico, we went to go visit a pastor, and we were out at the store. We stopped at a store that we were grabbing some snacks. I didn't want to go inside the store, so I stood next to the car there, parked next to the store. I was just standing there. And all of a sudden, I see this red truck pull up, okay? There was a driver. He had a mask. It was a skull mask, okay? And there was two guys behind the truck standing with AK-47s, very short short. They were short. You know, I thought, you know, because Mexicans are usually very short. I thought, oh, it's just two short Mexican guys, right? And they were behind the truck with AK-47s wearing this mask. And I got really scared. My heart, I got my whole, I felt, all my blood just stopped. I was like, oh, man. Right? And then all of a sudden, one of them points at me like that. And he looks at his friend. I almost died. And they pointed at me. All of them got off. And they started walking towards me. I walked into the store. I told my pastor we were visiting as well what had happened. Everyone was panicking. We didn't know what to do. We're all like, okay, let's just get in the car and we'll drive away. They went into the store and they were acting like if they weren't coming for us, but we knew they were coming for us. They were just, you know, checking us out to see who we were. They were pretending like if they were going to buy something, looking at the snacks there. And we drove off into the car, and then we started noticing as we were driving down the street, I think they radioed all their little friends and all these trucks started pulling out, following us, behind us. Okay, at this point, I'm almost dead. I thought they were going to kill us. I literally thought that. And then the pastor from Mexico there said, he said, look, we'll just park and let's walk into the bakery and see if we can just buy some bread. Let's just keep on going on with our day. And that's what we did. We went in there, and then another cartel guy came out, and he was just standing behind us, like if he was going to buy bread. And he did. He just bought a little piece of bread, and but he was hearing our conversation. He found out that we were just there visiting the pastor, okay? And they thought we were other drug cartel members, okay? And then when I walked out the store, there was like five trucks pulled up. Some guys holding some RPGs, AK-47s, and listen to this part. They took off their mask, okay, and they were 12-year-old kids. 12-year-old kids, okay, with AK-47s and RPGs. And these are not normal 12-year-old kids, okay? These kids are trained to kill, to cut people's fingers off, stab people. They train them, they brainwash them, okay? So when you look at their face, they're mean. Okay, they don't know what it is to play with toys, with car, you know, stuff like that. They don't know that, okay? They're trained to kill, okay? And we walked out of there. I was so happy we were out of there. I said, I'm never coming back here. I told the pastor, I said, Pastor, what about the cops? What do they do? They said they don't do anything. The cops work for the drug cartel. Okay, folks, we are blessed to have police here. We are blessed to have law and order in this country. Now, I know not all the police, okay, are brave sometimes. We just noticed that in this last shooting that the cops were standing outside for about an hour and there was a shooter in the school. I know that, okay? No, they're not all perfect, but we're still blessed to have police in this country. We're blessed to have law and order in this country. We ought to be thankful for that. Like I just gave you an example. In Mexico, they don't have that. Everything's corrupt. Okay? But we should be thankful. We should be thanking God that we have that. And it's sad. Nowadays, they don't want that. They don't want that. Let's go to point number two. Laziness. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 6. Proverbs chapter 6. Proverbs chapter 6, we'll be reading verses 6 through 11. Proverbs chapter 6. The Bible says this, Proverbs chapter 6, verses 6 through 11. Go to the ant, thou sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise. Verse 7. Which having no guide, overseer, or ruler, provideth her meat in the summer, and gathereth her food in the harvest. Verse 9. How long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? When wilt thou arise out of thy sleep? Verse 10. Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man. We see here in verse 6. the Bible is telling us to look at the ant. He's telling the lazy person, look at the ant. Have you seen the ants during the summer? They're working. They're all over. They're actually a little annoying because they're all over the place sometimes. They're working. They're preparing for what? For the winter. All right. Here in this country, we have it so good that people have gotten extremely lazy. Extremely lazy. There's so much job opportunity in this country, folks. I remember just a while ago, it happens. I always get job offers through my email. It's through Indeed. I always get job offers. I always get security offers all the time. When I was working Amazon security, people were always constantly quitting because they thought it was too much work. And I'm telling you right now, I've been doing security for 5 years. Security is not a lot of work. All right. I remember I had this one security job during COVID where I literally sat in Tarteso at a park in my car. Okay. I had to take care of the park. That was my job. Okay. And my post orders were to just stay in my car and watch for anything suspicious. It was a very a good area. Tarteso is, it's not like 27th and Van Buren. Tarteso is a very good area, okay? Nothing ever happened, all right? So I would just go there and sit in my car, watch movies, read books, my Bible, and play on my Nintendo Switch for 6 hours every day. And my boss didn't care. She just wanted me there, and I would get paid to do that. Is that a tough job? That's not a, I was getting paid to play video games, be on my phone, read books, and occasionally go check the restroom if there was any graffiti. Is that a hard job, folks? And before me, there was another guy there. They had to fire him because he was sleeping. They will fire you if you sleep. But he was sleeping. It wasn't even a tough job. I would work from 7 p.m. to like 12 a.m. It wasn't even that much. It was every day for 6 days. I only had one day off. It was an easy job. Here at Amazon, when I was working Amazon security, we always had people quitting the job because they thought it was too hard. And it wasn't, we never did anything. I'm telling you right now, security is one of the easiest jobs on planet Earth. It's so easy, it's boring. And we had people getting fired. All right, we had people quitting. They didn't want to work. They're lazy. And that's how America is nowadays. They're lazy. They don't want to work. Everybody, look, when I worked in Chick-fil-A, I was getting paid $8.05 an hour. Okay? Now, McDonald's was paying this around the same when I worked in Chick-fil-A. Now, in McDonald's, I think they're paying them $15 an hour. That's crazy. And then they complain that they want more. I don't understand it. You know why this happened, folks? It's laziness, pure laziness. And the Bible's always right. During the last days, you're going to start seeing all this stuff. All right. Nobody wants to work. My sister just applied to work there at Amazon security. And the lady told her, yeah, we really need people. We can't find anybody to work. And people, they just want to stay home. They want to, they complain about everything. They want to stay home and get, Joe Biden checks and live off the government. God didn't create you for that. God created you to work. God created the man to work. In the Old Testament, a normal day of working was 12 hours. Now it's 8 hours, but in the Old Testament, a whole day of working would be considered 12 hours a day, 6 days a week. Here in America, we get, you know, it's 40 hours a week and you get 2 days off. All right, it's even easier now. But God created the man to work. You have the opportunity to have an abundance here in America as well without education. Look, I'm going to be careful the way I say this. If you're broke, friend, it's because it's mostly because you want to be lazy. Here in America, you have the opportunity to have much, to have an abundance, okay, without an education. All right. Now, I've always wanted to be a businessman before I was called to preach. And I'm very careful when it comes to business because I know that that could probably throw me off my calling. But I love business. I love making money. I'm very ambitious. I like to work hard. And I like to win. I don't like to lose. I like to compete. And when I'm selling with my dad's taco truck, there's another taco truck in front of us, and I want to beat them every day. I want to sell more than them. I'm very competitive. I don't like to lose, but I try as much to stay as away from that, and I try to just trust in the Lord when it comes to my finances. I still work a lot. I work more than 40 hours a week. I know I could be making more money, but I don't want to go in that direction. I want to stay where God has called me to be. But there's some of you where you're not so much called to be a preacher like myself and to stay and focus in what God has called you to do. God has called you just to be a good Christian. Amen. But you still have the opportunity to do other things outside of the church. For myself, like I said, I just want to focus what God has called me to do, and that's preaching and preparing myself for what He's called me to do. But what I'm trying to say with that, folks, is if you're out begging for money on the streets here in America, that's just out of pure laziness. And I know sometimes there's situations where you just hit rock bottom and all that, but you got to go get a job. You got to go work. God created us to work. And like I was saying, you don't need a high education to have a lot, to have money here in America. I remember back in Bible college, there was this, we had a sister there. Her name was Miss Martinez, Filipino lady. She's about this tall, short lady. And if you were to see her, you would never think she's a multimillionaire. She's a multimillionaire. I'm talking about millions of dollars. She has mansions across the United States of America. And she's a faithful lady in the church. She works a bus route. She's the captain of a bus route. She brings over 60 kids every Sunday. And she brings a lot of people to church. And she's a very busy woman, always working. But she balances out her lifestyle. She works outside of the church, and she still works for the Lord. Amen. And she goes soul winning every Saturday. But if you were to see this lady, she came, okay, from the Philippines. She used to sell, she said she used to sell fish. I don't know how that works, but she used to sell fish. And as she came to the United States, and she saw the opportunity, and she got into real estate. And now she's a multimillionaire. And she doesn't have very much education either. She doesn't have a degree. No associate's degree, no bachelor's, no master's, none of that. She didn't go to college or anything. But you know why God has blessed her so much? She's a hard worker. God doesn't bless laziness, folks. God won't bless someone that's being lazy. God doesn't like that. God wants you to be a hard worker. Someone that's balanced, a man of character, that works hard. Every day, that's part of my prayer list. I pray for those things. I want to be a man like that. And as I was driving around Santa Clara, and I see a bunch of signs that say Martinez. She owns all those properties. She's trying to sell them. And she helps a lot in missions. They're at the church. She built a huge gymnasium there for the people there in North Valley, for the college students. And the Lord's given her much. Why? To whom much is given, much is required. God has given us a lot just by living in this country, folks. If we have the opportunity to give, to work, to give to missions, help out in the church, we should do that. Not just be sitting around, being lazy, complaining about Joe Biden that the gas prices are too high. We ought to work. And we ought to be thankful to still live in a country that lets us do that. People want everything free nowadays. There's people promoting socialism. I'm not for that, and I can tell you right now, God is not for that either. God wants us to work. So you're telling me you want a guy, okay? You got a guy over here. He went to school. He worked hard. All right, he's a doctor. He's making $40 an hour, all right? And then you got a guy over here. He barely made it to high school because he was smoking marijuana every day and wasting all of his little checks that he got from working at Walmart on drugs. And he's over here complaining that he doesn't have enough, and he's lazy, and he's saying, hey, I want to get paid the same as the doctor. That's not fair, folks. You're going to get what you work for. And that's just the way God created it. The Bible even says, the man that doesn't work shouldn't eat. God wants us to work. God doesn't want us to be lazy. Let's go ahead and go to our last point here. Point number three, haters of God. Psalm chapter 9, verse 17. Psalm chapter 9, verse 17. And I'll finish with this. Psalm chapter 9, verse 17. Point number three is haters of God. This country is filled with haters of God. And like I said, the title of my sermon is To Whom Much Is Given, Much Is Required. One day God is going to judge people here in the United States because God has given them much and much is more required of them. God has given you much. God has given me much. But the more is required from you because of that. And here we see haters of God. Psalm chapter 9, verse 17, the Bible says this. The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. Let me read that one more time. The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. This country, the United States of America, has forgotten about God. All right? And that's why we're going down here, folks. We're going downhill and we're going quickly. All right? We have so many haters of God nowadays. They hate you if you're Christian. They don't even like, they'll promote the Muslims, but they won't promote Christianity. And if they try to promote Christianity, it's not even Christianity. It's the Pope. It's the Catholics. And that is not Christianity, folks. A Catholic is not, that's not Christianity. That's a whole other thing that comes from the devil. And I'm not going to get into that right now because I don't have much time, but that's a whole other thing, folks. Being a Catholic, they hate us. They're haters of God. They don't like us. And just wait. Right now, I'm 24 years old. I always talk about this with my sister. Me and my sister strongly believe that when I'm around 60, I'm probably going to end up getting killed by the government for preaching the Bible. And I don't mind. I know that sounds pretty crazy. I don't mind at all. You know, if I get killed by the government for preaching the Bible, because if that does happen, when I'm in heaven, I can brag to Peter and all them that I got killed too. And that I didn't die just out of cancer or something, or old age. But that I got killed by the government for preaching the Bible. I don't mind that one bit. And look, right now we have the liberty to go out and preach the gospel. But one day here in America, that's going to end. And I can see that coming very quickly. Like I said this morning, the night is coming where no man can work. That's what the Bible says. The day will come where we can go out soul winning. These haters of God, they don't have Christ, all right? They don't believe in God. They make their own gods. They believe this crazy stuff. You know, it's sad. When you fill out an application or something, it says, what are you, a man, woman, or other? There is no other. It's either man or woman. That's how God created it. There is no other, friend. It's either man or woman. That's the way God made it. But this world, it's so messed up. It's corrupt. It's the devil, the world, the flesh. It's blinding the people with sin. Like I said this morning, people will think, oh, you're going to church. You're going to that Baptist church. They're brainwashing you. Yeah, we are brainwashing. We're brainwashing you from all the filthiness you hear from CNN, from the internet, Facebook, all that stuff. All that they promote, all this wickedness, it's getting to your head. You're starting to think this, this, and that. You're starting to believe God isn't real. God is still real, folks. It's just that the devil is hard at work because he knows he's running out of time. These haters of God, they live a sinful life. They don't have Christ. You ought to serve right now still while you can. And it's a beautiful thing to go out and preach the gospel. Go knocking on doors. Like I said this morning, I was out with Brother Gonzalez and Brother Urban, and we knocked this neighborhood right here. We had a few people cuss us out. That's all right. We had a few dogs come and attack us. You know, we went to a house yesterday, and there was two people there behind the gate. They opened the gate, and their two pit bulls came out running. And I stood there firm. Me and Brother Urban stood there firm, and Brother Gonzalez went running. But But that's okay. But it's a blessing, folks, to go out, preach the gospel to people, get them saved. All right, we ran into Miguel yesterday. Brother Urban got him into church today. That's a blessing, folks. And right now, we have the freedom to do it here in America. Churches, Bible-believing Christians, have the freedom to go out, okay, and go preach the gospel without getting persecuted, all right, without having to get trying to get killed for giving the gospel to somebody. And no, nobody wants to go out. Everybody just wants to stay home, or they make excuses. Oh, I don't know how to do that. Well, we can teach you how to do that. It's not that simple, friend. And look, it's a commandment of God. It's a commandment of God. Let's go to Mark chapter 16. The book of Mark. I'll finish with this. Mark 16:15. And he said unto them, this is Jesus Christ speaking. He says, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Let me tell you something, friend. I got a lot of plans. I have a lot of goals in my life. If one day I ever become a pastor, there's things I won't mention them. If I were to tell you right now, you would think I'm crazy. So I'm just not even going to bother telling you. If you live long enough to stick around, well, then you'll be able to see it. But look, we knock on doors here around the neighborhoods. I don't want to just knock around here. I want to reach the world. I want to do something great for God. And right now is the time for Christians, okay, to say, you know what, I need to go out right now. Some of you, and I don't want to be disrespectful in any way, some of you are getting older. The time is going to come where you can't even come to church, and it's going to be a struggle. You should go out while you still have time. Preach the gospel. Help out in some way. It's so important to do that. And Christians have slowly pushed that away. To whom much is given, much is required. Folks, we've been given the word of God, okay? We've been given the word of God, the truth, all right? You have all these other religions. You have the Mormons, the Catholics, the Jehovah's Witnesses, okay? They don't have the truth. We have the truth. God has given us much through this book. And to whom much is given, much is required of you. If you're a Bible-believing Christian, you've trusted Christ as your Savior, you know God has given you much, okay, and you're not doing it, you're going to have to face God one day, and you're going to have to do some explanation. That's just how it is. It's simple like that. No excuses, no nothing. To whom much is given, much is required. Let's go ahead and bow our heads, close our eyes.